You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. It's Tuesday. It's August 12th, and we're asking you, who has inspired you to action or to understand something differently? We want to hear your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or drop us a note at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Right now, we have some headlines for you from Femi Okay. Good morning, Femi.
Hello there, Adora. 12 minutes to the hour. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev says he's ordering an end to the Russian military assault inside Georgia. He delivered a televised speech just hours ago, but the Russian leader went on to say that he's authorized his troops to crush any further resistance from Georgian forces attempting to defend the breakaway regions inside Georgian territory. He's demanding that Georgian troops pull out of those disputed areas and stop fighting. In Pakistan, a senior official says that military forces have killed a senior al-Qaeda member in clashes near the Afghan border. News agencies describe the dead Egyptian man as third in command at the terrorist organization. A prominent Chinese Christian activist has escaped his captors and is now in hiding. The man was detained while he was on his way to a church service attended by President Bush during his Beijing visit. Police are denying any involvement in the man's disappearance. And an environmental group says the humpback whale is on the road to recovery and is no longer in immediate danger of extinction. The group says the population is up at least 60,000. Just four decades ago, the humpback whale was nearly hunted out of existence. And that's a look at your international and domestic headlines.
Thanks very much, Femi. We move now to Pakistan, where President Pervez Musharraf, who's been a key ally of the Bush administration's war on terrorism, is facing serious efforts to impeach him. Today, the second of Pakistan's four provincial assemblies passed a resolution calling for Musharraf to step down or face impeachment. Musharraf has repeatedly refused. Joining us now to talk about these latest developments is Daniel Markey, a senior fellow at the Council of Foreign Relations. Good morning, Daniel, and thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning.
What do you make of these efforts, these continued efforts to unseat Musharraf?
Well, this is basically a part of a long-term process, a process that's been over a year in the making, that is basically a political transition that began with the, I guess, two springs ago with a Chief Justice issue, Musharraf trying to dismiss the Chief Justice, and then moved up until last winter's February elections, which included a campaign marked by the death of Benazir Bhutto, and now has moved into what may be the sort of the terminal stage for President Musharraf himself, which looks like an effort by the civilian leaders of Pakistan to finally get rid of him once and for all.
Now, there were a long list of accusations violating the Constitution for the conduct you mentioned of dismissing the judges, gross misconduct in office, economic mismanagement, and yesterday, charges of corruption seemed to almost come out of nowhere, where you had leader of the opposition party accusing Musharraf of misappropriating $700 million of American aid. What's your take on that?
Well, at this stage, I'm not convinced that this particular charge has a lot of merit to it. If there's been corruption over the past 8 years or so under Musharraf and his government, it's probably more in the form of institutional corruption. Corruption, by that I mean that the military has been in charge of the government. The military has had the ability to do what it sees fit with resources from the national budget, which includes spending money on military projects that help army officers and things like that. But very little of it has to do with the direct looting of the budget by somebody like Musharraf himself. I haven't seen any evidence that really supports this particular charge. Of course, that could come out. It's possible that there's evidence that's not been available right now, but it seems unlikely. Most of the indicators suggest that money has been used to support army interests, but maybe not to support Musharraf's interests, and certainly not $700 million. There's very little evidence of that in particular.
This is Catherine Lanfer. This news just came across the wires that one of Pakistan's northwestern provinces just voted against Musharraf, that they're the second province to make this backing step in the impeachment. This latest news, does that add any more credence to this effort?
Well, it certainly adds credence to the effort to impeach him. I mean, that's very much underway. The question of whether it's impeachment for political reasons or impeachment because of actual corruption or mismanagement, that's sort of a separate issue. But yes, the Northwest Frontier Province Assembly, a provincial assembly, has voted in favor of Musharraf basically having to submit himself to a vote of confidence in the National Assembly. So this vote, like the vote before it, which was in the Punjab Assembly, are not really binding, but they basically express the sentiment of the provinces that Musharraf should stand up and essentially have to be re-voted into office as president. And of course, now that the assemblies, including the National Assembly, are held by the opposition, he would not be able to win such a vote, which would, by extension, lead to his dismissal.
Do you think there's any irony here that the leaders of the two opposition parties that have coalesced together have individually both been accused of corruption themselves, and that includes Benazir Bhutto's husband, who actually spent time in prison based on criminal charges of corruption?
Yeah, actually, if you look at the sweep of even relatively recent history, what you see is a pattern in which corruption is used as the primary reason for dismissing political leaders in Pakistan. That's been true for Nawaz Sharif, and that was true for Benazir Bhutto before him. In fact, when Benazir Bhutto was here in the United States prior to her return to Pakistan, she made exactly this point. She said that the charges of corruption against her and her husband were politically motivated, as are most charges of corruption against political leaders. And I think in many ways this is no different. Musharraf has become an extremely unpopular character in Pakistan, and so therefore a lot of different charges are coming out of the woodwork that, if he were a more popular character, would not be raised.
Now, what do you think the chances are, given Pervez Musharraf's relationship with the military, and not to mention the inter-services intelligence community, which is a very powerful factor in Pakistan politics, what do you think the chances are of him actually getting voted out and going quietly?
He appears at the moment like he's looking for a fight, that he will not go quietly. There is a lot of bluff and bluster going on right now on both sides, partially because he obviously would like to avoid this next step of an impeachment trial, and will put up a strong face if there's any way that he can avoid it. And on the other side, there's a lot of bluster that if he doesn't go quickly or quietly, that things could get a whole lot worse for him. Obviously, both sides want to avoid a more destabilizing conflict. Certainly, the civilians would like to do whatever they can to keep the army out of this process. And at this point, the army looks like it's not interested in stepping in. But if Musharraf, who obviously was the head of the army for years, is humiliated or brought down in a way that the army feels hurts its own institutional interests, then it is still possible that the new head of the army would step in, and that would potentially bring an end to this latest period of democratic civilian government, which obviously from a U.S. perspective would be a bad thing, even though this has been an incredibly messy process so far.
So there's a lot of standing away and watching to see what happens. Daniel Markey, thank you.
Thank you.
Daniel Markey is a senior fellow from the Council on Foreign Relations, giving us his thoughts on what's happening and the developing story in Pakistan.
All right. I'm Catherine Lanfer, in for John Hockenberry. I just want to remind you that we are always here on The Takeaway. You can catch up with us on Facebook, FriendFeed, Twitter.
And as you know, Catherine, we're always asking our listeners to join in the conversation, and someone did.
My sponsor in AA has helped me see the world differently and helped me throughout my life.
And so there you go. We were asking who inspired you, who has helped you in your life, and we were talking about Fannie M. Lewis from Cleveland, who passed away this week, and she certainly changed lives.
Some people, Steph, says I don't vote, I am devastated.
She inspired a whole lot of folks.
All right. Tell us who inspired you. 877-8 MyTake, MyTake at thetakeaway.org.
And here's your takeaway for today, or our takeaway.
I can assure you that if a wedding ring drops in the sand at a beach volleyball event, I'm there first with a metal detector.
That's our own Ollie Williams of the BBC. He's there. He's our guy giving us an inside look into the Olympics, like American beach volleyball player Carrie Walsh losing her wedding ring.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.